Hey team, welcome back to this week's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour, episode 174. My name is Katie and I'm your host. If you're an OG listener, you may remember today's guest, Jennifer Zumbiel, mama of four and creator of Together. Jen says it best herself, "I don't want to look back and regret how fast it went. I want to know we made all the small moments count." Today we dive into connection, specifically with those closest to us. We discuss how a diet mindset can definitely hold us back from these special moments that matter most. Jen gives some very tangible tips on how we can get more from our conversations with others instead of just going through the motions. Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about their relationship with food, exercise, and their bodies. I am on a mission to help you redefine the word fit, to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fierce. Jen, welcome back to Fit Friends Happy Hour. I cannot believe that you were on episode 106, and this is what, episode 170-something? This is crazy. Hello, welcome back.
I know. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be back here and be able to share. A lot has changed for sure.
Yeah. So just give our listeners, right? We've got lots of new listeners over the years. So tell us, you know, what you've been up to and just how life and business has shifted over the past few years.
Yes. So I have four children and my oldest is now in eighth grade. We are on the eve of high school.
Oh my goodness.
Very different adventure. I know. My youngest is five. And so we are out of that very needy stage into having four children who, you know, you really just see them growing into who they're meant to be. And you're not distracted with always helping the baby out or whatever. It's a really fun part of our chapter right now, for sure. As far as business goes, when we chatted, I had just our Together for Family dinner product and Together for Lunch. And this is funny. So my whole business, for the listeners out there, my whole mission is to pretty much empower moms around being able to have confidence to raise their family the way they want to and stick to their values. And I happen to do it through conversation starters on stickers, because I think that that's a key, and we could talk for days on that. But communication is the heart of any family after faith, I believe. So I launched a product that was just, okay, I know I can make families stronger around the dinner table. So it was just called Together. Well, since you and I talked, I have launched quite a few more products. So I had to end up calling that Together for Family Dinner, which is fun when you watch a business evolve. So I have Together for Date Night, for Advent, for Easter, and I have some other products I'm working on right now.
So fun. And it's been so fun to just watch you grow over the years. And the reason, you know, I wanted to have you back on the podcast is because as an intuitive eating dietitian, you know, in this non-diet approach, something that we talk about on Fit Friends Happy Hour is, how can I just get more from life, right? When I'm not focused on the numbers and the scale, I can live more. I can communicate better. I can be present, right? I can be a better mother, girlfriend, sister, right? Whatever role that you play in your family. So, you know, share with our listeners, how does your business really help add that piece? And why is that so important to you?
Well, So to back up, I have a business degree and then I went back to school to be a teacher. So I was a teacher for 8 years and I have also been a stay-at-home mom the whole time. So I stayed at home when my oldest was born, and then I ended up teaching for 5 more years later on as a teacher for a homeschool co-op group, which was a really cool opportunity. So I got to stay home and still bring my children to those days that I was teaching and all that. So I say that because I definitely have been called to be a stay-at-home mom and be able to put my family first. Not that if you work, you don't put your family first, but I'm just saying that's what I've been called to do. And I've also always had a feeling that, you know, I wanted to serve more and more. And teaching, if people said, what's your dream job? It was teaching. I feel like I was able to live my dream job. But having the opportunity to have my own business and feel like I can really make a difference has been a really neat adventure to bring my family into, model so many different character traits to them, and resilience and persistence and, you know, just answering your call in life, and to do it around something that builds my family even stronger with focus on communication has definitely changed the strength of our family and what it means to be a family and be confident in who you are, which I know, Katie, you obviously want women to feel all day long. And it's just been such a catalyst for all those things that I never would have imagined I could bring to our family simply because I took a risk.
I love that. And I love kind of how you integrate business and family and faith so much, right? Because there's so much out there about we have to have this work-life balance. And I think you and I are really on the same page of, no, we don't have to have that balance. There's no such thing as balance. It's integration, right? And if you can integrate the two, how much more that just adds value to your life, adds life to your life. You know what I mean?
It really does. If anyone follows me, you will see I'm all about the teachable moments in life. I think everything has to be about a life lesson. And just to draw what you're saying into it is, you know, I'll tell my children in the moment of me, if they see me on social media or something, I will draw them over to me and say, hey, let me show you why this matters. Not like, hold on, I'll be right over there. I'll say, I want you to read this post I wrote because this is why I do what I do. I'm trying to serve families and tell them some things that might work for us. And I want you to read this comment from someone that follows me and thinks together is important to their family as well. And so it just creates all these opportunities to definitely integrate that and to let our children see why we decide to put our time in different places within our family.
Yeah, I love that. So speaking of, you know, teachable moments, how has the pandemic and the shift of 2020 impacted your family in terms of communication, in terms of, you know, being together?
Well, the greatest gift was definitely being shut down and locked in. I have a husband, obviously I have a husband, but I was going to say I have a husband that travels a lot for his job, and he has not been gone since March. And he would be gone an average of, you know, it could be 4 to 7 nights a month, which is a lot when you're juggling 4 children and all of our schedules and trying to be together and stay close and all of that. So just that factor has brought such a different dynamic to our family. And of course, slowing down, but, you know, this is kind of a cliche answer, but it makes you think of what matters the most. And you and I had a little conversation before this about your wedding and how I'm sure that you being tossed that adversity definitely made you guys really get to the heart of what mattered. And I think in our culture, we do not slow down enough to understand our why. Like, why do you care to go to church? Why do you care to have family dinner? Why do you care to work to achieve that goal? And when it's taken away from you, you have to know your why. And the best example I could give is when we got our email that said our church had shut down, I cried. I never knew what having our freedom of religion taken away felt like personally. And I cried and I told my kids and they saw me cry. And it was like, okay, this is a moment for us to talk about why this is important to our family. And we talked about what that meant, if it was taken away, and what we had to change in our family to make sure that value stayed strong. And I'm proud to say we never missed a Sunday Mass. We did it virtually. And then when it opened, we were there right away. And when we went on vacation, we watched it virtually again. But I just think that our culture doesn't provide us, nor do we ourselves provide ourselves with enough time to slow down. So it's a cliche answer that everyone's talking about probably, but when you do that, it makes you realize what the foundation is for everything that you actually do care about and stand for.
Yeah. So often we go through the motions, I think, and go in the routine, right? You mentioned of just things going into lockdown and your husband traveling. Like, those are just such huge pieces of our life, but also have, you know, we all got to the point where it was routine. It's what we did day after day, right? You go to church every Sunday, you show up, and it's, I'm sure for kids as well. And so, I mean, we have felt that same way. And we've talked about this. We talked about this on Instagram, you know, before even scheduling a podcast, of just, wow, really, it's almost been a blessing in a sense, everything that's happened in 2020 to force us to slow down. How have you seen this impact, you know, this pandemic and the communication piece? How have you seen it impact others and other families, and specifically the people that you serve?
Yeah, I think that, just to get back to the whole thing of talking about what our foundation is, I think I've witnessed on a more like a sadder side is people who, you know, if we all agree we were forced to reflect on this stuff, people who reflected and figured out things were shaky and unstable. And it caused some rifts in their families, I think. And that's been hard to see play out. And I think just for me, having the opportunity to have so many customers and people that I serve within my community and have these conversations, it's been neat to, I feel like one of the conversations that keeps coming up with people through Instagram DMs or whatever is, how are you thriving? How do you keep your kids thriving and your family? And it's been neat to see people's creativity come out. Like, if their kids' sports are taken away, well, okay, but let's keep them engaged in this way or whatever. And then just learning from each other, I think creativity has been a really neat thing within families, to see how families keep growing stronger.
What are some examples that you can think of? I'm kind of, my wheels are turning a little bit, but what are some things that you've seen that have just been really unique or interesting?
Okay. So, well, I'll use a personal example. We, our wedding anniversary was May 29th, which is close to yours.
Yeah.
What was your date?
April 25th.
So okay. Yeah.
Same season. Yeah.
I know. A month apart. But May 29th was our anniversary and we couldn't go anywhere. And Matt got takeout from somewhere. And my daughters set up the front porch. We have a covered front porch. I didn't know they were doing this. They set up chairs out there with a little table, put a tablecloth on it. They had a pitcher of water and glasses set up inside and came out with a tray and like took our drink orders and then had all our food set up inside and came and served us. It was the sweetest thing. And my kids would never, they probably just wouldn't have thought to do that, but they thought that because they knew we wanted to go out to dinner and they thought, we'll create that at home for you guys. And just seeing people step up like that, I mean, people who have, you know, a little thing sounds minor, but doing all those like scavenger hunts around neighborhoods where they're looking for things that people place in windows. And I don't know if you even know this was going on.
Yeah, like the bears, like everyone put the bears in the windows.
Yes, or like shamrocks. But then neighborhood Facebook groups would post things and say, okay, put this in your window. And when we all take walks, we'll go look for this. And I just think people, you know, came up with more creative ways to build community within their home and within their real community. And it's been a neat experience to watch.
Yeah, it's definitely, I love that word creativity. especially at a time. I was listening to another podcast recently. I can't even remember what it was, just saying how we're so glued to our phones. We're so glued to social media that so many of us don't even know how to be bored anymore. Right. And so when we get in that routine, when we get in that stuck, it can really contribute to the lack of creativity. So you talked about, you know, I love that example of your kids making you dinner. Well, not making it, right? But making it the experience. And I talk a lot, you know, as a dietitian, I've worked with kids, parents, and really stress the importance of family mealtime. So why is family mealtime important to you?
When you got married, Katie, what kept you thinking about the vision of your family that you're going to build? Like, what are you thinking of when you think of that?
Oh my, I think of mealtime. Was that a a trick question?
Do you really think of mealtime? It's not a trick question.
I mean, I really do. I think that was something that I was always raised with. And, you know, I value food as such a traditional, emotional, you know, cultural piece of my life. And so I do. I think I envision, you know, a family sitting around a table talking and just enjoying each other's presence.
And yes, and I think most likely it's because if you got to the heart of that, you're dreaming of like what you're going to stand for as a family and how you're going to raise your children to be who they were created to be. And if you want all this, you have to have a place to gather and to come together to reflect. And I think when we all dream about the family we want, it's not like, what house are we going to live in? What cars are we going to drive? What sports will my kids excel in? It's more than that. It's like, what am I going to create where I get to the end and I think, wow, I am so proud of what we built. And if you really know why you care about your family as far as what you're building there, then there is no way you can deny that you have to make sure you keep building it. Okay, so if we all agree with that, then we have to think, but our lives are going to be busy. We're going to be pulled in all these directions. How are we going to stay true to that? Because we all know it's not easy in today's world. And you're going to have all these things that are battering you that are going to make you either second guess your values or try to rock them, or you slowly just forget because you don't even know what you stood for to begin with. And we have this place in our home that's so magical that is just begging us to gather right there. It's our kitchen table. It's designed so that we can actually look at one another. I mean, I think there are so many things about family dinner. And the one thing is, do it together at your table. Don't sit on your couch. Don't sit at the bar counter unless you have one of those fancy ones where it looks like a table and you're looking at each other. But just the very fact that you can be there means that you have just given yourself these really great tools to make listening easy, to make respect easy, to make the eye contact happen, which is what are the keys to solid communication. I mean, you know, to compare it to someone trying to be healthy, just like if I wanted to commit to my health routine, making sure I do it at the same time every day is automatically something that can hold me accountable. Will it make me really good at it? I don't know. I mean, there's some other factors I have to put in place to make sure I commit to that. But I think our dinner table is the same way. If you set up mealtime and you gather right there at your table, will it guarantee you're a strong family? Well, I don't know, because if you're bringing your cell phone and not really talking, then no. But it's a catalyst to help you get to that goal if you just use it. And if we all know that, then our dinner table is the place that we should keep coming back to over and over. And I realize in real life, you know, not everyone can have 7 nights a week a family dinner. But if you can have one or two or three and you use it intentionally and to make your communication stronger, then no doubt you're going to grow stronger as a family. Because if our communication breaks down at any point, our family itself is going to face a threat of breaking down. And if you think it's going to stay really strong because you just want it to, but you don't take time to foster it, the weight of carpool and work commitments and everyone running in their own direction and older kid going to the room by themselves, that's going to have some consequences to it over time if you are not careful. So family dinner to me is the place that I think makes every family strong if we use it the right way.
Such a good answer. Better than any answer I could have even imagined. But I love the word that you use. It's a catalyst, right? It's a catalyst for the relationships, for the memories, for, right? The foundation, really, like you, what you said. And it's so timely, this interview today, because I was actually having this conversation with a client on Monday. She's, you know, younger, but she does know that she wants to get pregnant and have kids in the future. And we had this discussion of like, what do you envision? What does that look like to you? What does mealtime look like to you? And she struggled with, you know, dieting and her weight for so many years. And she said, I want to have it as a place to have good discussion, to learn and share our values, to challenge each other's thoughts, to have, you know, those intelligent conversations. And so we talked about, okay, even though you don't have a family now, we can work towards that. We can work towards creating that habit, I guess you could say. So let's say there's listeners, which I know there are, who don't yet have a family. Maybe they want to have a family. Maybe they're newly married, or maybe they're not yet married. How can they start to work towards that?
I love this question so much because I think anything in life is about practicing today so that you can apply that to the bigger things later. If you can handle the small things today, you'll handle the big things with it later, right? And an example of that is this morning, my son saw some cookies that my mom had given us. I don't know why my mom gave us cookies like a couple of days after Halloween, but okay. And he saw them and I saw him and I heard him. I was actually in the other room. I didn't see him. I heard him. And I said, Nathan, be careful. Don't give in to that temptation. Step away or the temptation's going to be too hard. And he said, I stepped away, mommy. And I thought, okay, every time I use moments in our home, if he can step away from the cookies, then he, you know, later on in life can hopefully step away from the bigger temptations. Mm. So as far as what you're saying, I think for somebody who just wants to know that dinner will always be a sacred place for them, here's my tip. A couple of tips here. One is, always keep your table clean. Wherever you sit, keep it clear and free from clutter because it will naturally invite people over. No one wants to sit at a table that is cluttered and then have good conversation that's too distracting. It's subtly distracting. It's outrightly distracting. It's bad. Make your table a place that does not have any homework, mail, other things that get pushed to the side. I'll tell you the one thing that helped my family really commit to that, and we've never gone back, is I put a tablecloth on it. The tablecloth is this wipeable one. It's beautiful. I ordered it from a friend I met on Instagram, and it stays there with our napkin holder with our Together for Family dinner game in it, which is it's a book full of 105 stickers, and you peel the sticker and you pass it around and you talk. And that made us never put anything on it because it's too pretty. If you put something on it, it messes up the whole feel. So that's one tip. Another tip is when you sit at dinner, make the conversation positive only. It's only allowed to be positive. You're not allowed to use it as a place to say, hey, let's talk about your chores. Hey, let's talk about that homework that you messed up on. Or husband, let's talk about our finance problems. don't put that talk at the table, because if you want your dinner to be synonymous with all these good feelings and good values and, oh my gosh, good memories were talked about and compliments were given and laughter was had, do not make it about anything negative. Keep it positive all the time. Those conversations can certainly be held on your couch, at your bar counter, maybe at the table with a notebook out, but not a plate, not a fork, nothing, no food, because that is training yourself to know when you come to this family dinner table, it is positive. And you know what? If you want to create that for your family, guess what? You're going to have those teenagers one day who are having bad days, and you want them to know that they're going to be fed, not with food, but with so much more when they sit down at that dinner table. And you want them to know when they bring friends that they are going to have the same experience. So those would be my top two tips to put that into habit that would last a lifetime.
I mean, I have goosebumps right now. That is so good. But you know, you bring this up about that environment and making it a safe space, making it a positive space. I cannot tell you how many women I work with who grew up and it was not a positive space. It was a negative space where food was, they were shamed, they were disciplined, you know, and that stayed with them into adulthood. And it has really affected, you know, not just the way they interact with food and their relationship with food, but their relationship, just like what you said, at the table, communicating. It's a negative, it's a stressful place. And anybody listening, just know that if you had that same experience, you can rewrite that story. You can change that.
Oh my gosh, Katie, that makes me really, really sad to hear. And to think of, they must have been a child going through that. And that is so, that's heartbreaking, actually. So you're right. Rewrite the story. And the whole reason I'm sitting here with a business called Together Moments is because I sat down at a table one day. It was a Sunday afternoon. My oldest, who's 13 now, was 8. And I looked around, I thought, why are people not using this mealtime at this restaurant for good? They are totally just oblivious to the opportunity that's right in front of them with their family. They're on their screens, they're having side conversations, they're not engaging their children. They are missing out on building so much goodness right here. And I left that lunch and I said to Matt, there has got to be a better way. I'm not raising my kids in a world that refuses to see face-to-face communication is so valuable, not only for like the good of your family, but the good of society. My goodness. When we take that out, there's so many problems as we see. But I will say that I knew that the answer was at the kitchen table and the family dinner table specifically. And I knew what you said was that some people wouldn't know how to go there and make it a valuable experience and wouldn't know what to do. And I knew I could get people to talk and open up because I taught high school U.S. history. So I knew I could get people to open up, teenagers in particular. So I thought, I'm going to do this. I know that I can just give people one little prompt that leads to so much more. So that's what I'm talking about. If you're intentional with what you bring to the table and not just how was your day, like... I have a whole category called warm and fuzzy. So it says, tell one of the children at the table how they're a leader to other people their age. I mean, imagine what kind of values are built in that 10-minute conversation. You're giving the other children at the table an opportunity to hear how you compliment. You're giving them an opportunity to hear what it means to be a leader and how you should highlight other people's accomplishments. And if you hear one of your children say it to the other children, I mean, it just...
It changes everything.
It changes everything. You have to figure out how to, yes, rewrite that story and make it something that sticks for your family, no pun intended there, for them to carry on to their own family when they go build it. It's just, I think when people think of the whole message, have family dinner together, they're thinking, okay, we get it. That leads to less childhood depression and less obesity and better homework grades or whatever those statistics say. It's not that. It's mm-hmm. your why for what you care about, for what you know is at the heart of what your family really should be.
I want to touch on a point you just made, right? Let's say somebody grew up in a family that didn't communicate well, right? That didn't talk about emotions or feelings or just like that statement. And so them hearing this, right? It sounds great, but how can I implement it, right? And your product does just that. So what advice would you have for somebody who's like, all right, I'm in, I'm going to try this out, but maybe feels nervous or they're going to think it's cheesy. They won't go for it. Like, how do you break almost like an icebreaker?
Okay. I'm going to say that I'm going to give a tip for if you're using my product and then a tip if you don't have my product. So like I said, I taught high school. So I actually, when I knew I was going to do this, I thought I'm going to write every single sticker so that a teenager will answer it.
So good.
So I did. And the other requirements were it could not lead to a one-word answer and it had to lead to follow-up conversations. So every single one in the family dinner, well, all of mine are written that way. I say that because one of the comments I receive a whole lot from people is, wow, I can't believe this made my teenager open up. Or I had one customer out in California. She said, I bought this because I have four teenage boys and I just wanted our conversation to be really special. And it's hard to get teenage boys to open up. And she said, when we finish a round and I say, okay, we're done, my boys will say, no, let's keep going. And they want to peel more stickers and keep talking. And I have that over and over, and it's mostly moms with teenage boys. So I think that that is proof right there that this is not awkward. It's not uncomfortable. And the reason this works is because if the sticker says, hey, tell me a risk that you took that you were proud of. If mom says that, that's super cheesy. If the sticker says it, the child or the adult of any age thinks, yes, I'd love to share a risk I took that made me proud, because people like to do that. Mm-hmm. And I would say specifically about this product, if you ordered it and you were like, I don't know, put it on your table. Just set it there. It's a book. It's 5 by 8 inches. And you just set it there in your napkin holder or lay it and say, I got this. I think you guys will like it. Someone flip through and peel it. Or if you think that might not happen, peel a sticker and put it on the edge of each person's plate. And tell them to go around. They're going to do it. You'll see. It's not weird or awkward. If the sticker says to do it, they will do it. Or go around and slap it on their forehead and they have to peel it off and do it. Just make it fun.
It's just like anything. It's awkward if you make it awkward. You just have to do it, right? And I love that you use the sticker, right? Because it's not you. There's no blame. I don't use the word blame, right? But whatever's going on in your head is way worse than it actually is.
It is. And it's the same. The date night game is the same one. I've had multiple people tell me, I got this because either we were having a hard time communicating and I thought this would help, or we love things like this and we wanted more of it. I mean, it goes both ways. But these you could, the date night game is set up the exact same way with 105 stickers. They're in 7 categories and you choose a category and then they're fold out sticker pages. They each have 15. So like one of the categories in date night is say the L word. So one is very simple, not very deep. It's people always say, I look like, so the L word there is look. They all have that. And then you can talk about that. And it just leads to a good conversation. And, you know, other ones are like, tell me a time that made me proud to be yours or whatever. And those are things you could just peel and place on your arm when you go for a walk together and you say, hey, I got this. It's really fun. I wanted to do it. So I'm going to answer mine and then you answer yours. But it's just not intimidating. It just, think of it as outsourcing your communication. All the things you want to say but feel awkward to bring up, it's easy. I'm not going to sit with Matt. Well, I probably would and say, what makes you proud to be mine or whatever? Like, but yeah. I would probably say that just because that's who I am. But, but if the sticker says it's so much easier, mm-hmm. and then I want to give a tip for if, you know, everyone's heard of the high low game, like what's your high point of the day? What's your low point of the day? I'm all about, if you can't tell, I'm super passionate about words that actually matter. I hate the fluff. Surface conversations are good for the right time, but we don't have enough time in our days, in modern day busy lives, to count on surface conversations helping us really grow. And I think that's why so many people wake up and they're like, when did we grow apart? I'll tell you when you grew apart, when you stopped having real conversation about things that actually matter. And so I think high and low is good. That gets people talking, but then you're going to get very surface answers. So here's a really easy dinner game that you'll remember. You can do this with people of all ages, adults, children, teenagers, college, whomever. Okay, ask these three questions and they all start with L so you can remember. I'm all about alliteration things, together, together, to grow, that sort of thing. Okay, so what today did you learn? When were you a leader today? And what made you laugh? Simple. Ask those three things and you'll get the best conversation. When we don't play together, which spoiler alert, we don't do it every single time we have dinner. But the reason you want to do it every night is because the idea is it creates a way of life for you so that you can take those elements of what you're already doing with those stickers and apply them to conversation you want to have in the carpool or on a walk or whatever. And so, you know, when we don't play those, we do things like the leader, learn, laugh questions. And it always leads to incredible conversation because it leads to stories being shared. Really good values come out when they talk about those different things. Funny conversations. I mean, we crack up laughing. It's just super fun.
I love that. We don't have time for surface level. Like it's true. Life is short. We don't know what tomorrow brings. So what better way to just live in the moment and build those connections. Oh, so good. So good. So I just obviously love your energy and you are such a bright light. Just talking to you, I'm like goosebumps. I'm so excited to talk to my family and friends and things like that. So how have you been able to stay so resilient, keep your faith and stay positive, especially throughout this time?
Well, thank you for those words. Actually, if anyone could see us, my hands fly. I talk with my hands all the time. you know, I will say starting a business like this is not easy for a lot of reasons from the business side, but mostly because it's very passionate for a mission that's very different than like me starting a calligraphy business, which I tried to do once. It's not better. It's not worse. I'm just saying it's a different thing that you do have to be very resilient to because people don't care about what you care about as much as you do sometimes. So I will say two things here. The first thing is you don't need a whole lot of people that believe in you. You need someone to believe in you who is there for you and encourages you and holds you accountable. Because with anything that we do in life, there is always going to be someone that makes you think less of who you are or what you're trying to accomplish. They will try to get in your head. They will try to make you think, why the heck am I even doing this? It doesn't matter. And you need that one person, preferably like three people, maybe would be good, but someone you know who will stand by you and speak truth to you. And let the other voices go, because we all know it's detrimental to who we want to become. And I don't have to tell you that. But number one would be make sure that person believes in you and speak your dreams to them. You know, it's like you love to run. I have run. I don't love to run. I've run some marathons over the years. And I said to Matt recently, I want to run a half marathon. So he asks me about it because I spoke it out. So we have to tell people these things so they keep holding us accountable. If I didn't speak it, no one would ever ask me about it because they don't know I'm interested in it. Mm-hmm. The next thing is this thing that I always ask myself is like a true compass, I think, for any decision we have to go through in life. Ask yourself this. When faced with a few decisions and the alternative, what is going to leave you with the least amount of regret? And I can tell you full out, when this business gets hard and I think no one cares about what I'm doing and why even bother? Why build anyone else's family at the expense of my own and being with them full time or whatever? I think, no way. I will get to the end and regret this if I said no to this opportunity way more than anything else I could have done in its place, because I believe I'm called to this. I believe that I'm supposed to be here doing this right now. And my biggest regret would be getting to the end and not living my life to the fullest and being who I was really supposed to be. So I think those two things always keep me resilient.
And like you said, just how we started is how we end this, right? It all comes back down to your why. So, so good talking with you today. I mean, my brain is just on fire. So speaking of fire, I want to finish with a little rapid fire and then we'll let our listeners know how to find you. So what's your favorite podcast right now?
I have a lot of favorite podcasts, but one that I think I always turn to for lots of different topics is Direction Not Perfection by Lindsay House. She is, to you, a fellow dietitian, wine-loving dietitian, I will say.
we can get behind that for sure.
I know you can.
Okay. What about your favorite beverage?
I'm going to be boring. Wah, wah, water.
Nothing wrong.
Water's my go-to. I'll drink a coffee a day, but a water.
But water's your go-to. What about sweet or salty?
Salty. Give me all the potato chips in the room.
I'm the same way. Chips, crunch, all that good stuff. And what is the best thing that's happened to you this week?
This is so easy. My 9-year-old daughter came home last night, and I don't know if anyone knows tap dance, but tap dance is very intricate. They have lots of steps, and she taught me something last night, and I am not the most coordinated person who learns. Like, put me in a step aerobics class, I'll be like 5 steps behind everybody. But she taught me, and it was amazing. And my other daughter, who's a dancer, was clapping for me. Everyone was so excited. It's funny, but that was the best thing that happened this week, was she taught me and they got to see me learn it. It was really fun. So I can't wait for them to get home from school so I can show them I didn't forget.
You're like, I've been practicing. Mama's been here all day practicing, waiting to show you.
I have. It's called Shirley Temple. It's a whole series of steps and I got it.
I love it. That's so fun. Well, it has been such a joy having you on the show today. Where can our listeners find you? And most importantly, where can they buy Together Moments?
I'm at Together Moments on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram's really where I love to hang out. My website is togethermoments.com. And I have my own podcast as well, which you are also a guest on. It is Families That Stick Together.
And it is Together with an A. We don't just have these Midwestern accents that we're making it like that.
Good to point out. Yes.
Because I get that all the time. They're like, you say your A's wrong. No, this is intentional. Together with an A. Love it. Thank you so much, Jen, for being here.
Katie, I love what you're doing. Thank you for having me.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review, and always be sure to check out the show notes. There you will find all the links to products we discuss, our Facebook community, social media handles, and any special offers or programs coming up. Wink, wink. No pun intended. No hint there. Just saying. You can find out more about Jennifer on Instagram at togethermoments and at togethermoments.com. And that's together with an A, together. She has also been so gracious to hook up our Fit Friends Happy Hour listeners with a special offer. Just enter the code FITFRIENDS at checkout for 10% off any order. I have already bought Together Moments for some gifts for the holidays, but I encourage you to buy it for your family, you and your loved one, or maybe just give it as a Christmas gift, as something that, you know, families and loved ones will actually use, and it's going to add more value way beyond the holidays.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.